It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to our weekly outdoor radio show. We have been doing this show now for almost 7 years every Saturday, and the topics we cover are just endless. We've talked about everything that, surely not everything yet. We have new topics to come up with, but we have covered the gamut for sure in outdoor topics. We have a very interesting guest today, Mr. Jeff Rice, and our topic today is going to be filming your own hunt when you're in the outdoors. A lot of, you know, cameras are widely available, all kind of different cameras, and software for editing has been made pretty simple. But Jeff is an expert. He has a hunting ranch that up near on the upper end of Lake Fork, and it's teeming with hogs. I've had the opportunity to hunt up there with Jeff a couple of times and have some great times. And he has a website, buckandbassranch.com. And a lot of these videos that Jeff has done are posted there. So we're going to mention that again. But I want to get some tips from Jeff that may help me and you film our own hunts. Jeff, thank you very much, buddy, for hanging in here and being with us.
Hi, Luke. Hey, glad to join you.
You know, filming hunts, videoing hunts now is really, really popular. And I've done it on a very amateurish basis. For sponsors, I've actually filmed snippets, I call them, and then they actually do the magic of editing and all that. But it's not all that difficult. What equipment, Jeff, do you need to get started? And I know that when you start talking about equipment with anything, you could spend as much money as you had, maybe. But you don't have to just bankrupt. You don't have to get a second mortgage on the home to get started, do you?
Yeah, you certainly don't. You know, actually, my recommendation, Luke, would be, you really don't. You don't have to go out and buy that big fancy camera. I like to keep it small, keep it simple, something pocket size. However, I do like a couple of things. I do like my camera to have at least like 55x or better zoom capability. And secondly, I really like to have a camera that films in high definition. Having those two things, and certainly a smaller camera, a compact camera, is much easier to use. Like when I'm hunting in a tree stand or whatnot, you know, you don't want this big bulky camera, especially if you're self-filming and doing this all yourself. It's just that little camera with an adjustable camera arm that you can strap to the tree and you can freely move that camera around, allows you to get great video. You know, you can zoom in on stuff. With that adjustable camera arm, you don't get the bounce and all that kind of stuff. You really get some really good video.
Right. And, you know, we've talked about this around the campfire, you and I have. A video show, if you will, or a video that shows what happened during a hunt, that is, I liken that an awful lot to an article that I might write. You know, you have to have an intro to an article, let the reader know what's coming up, you know, kind of get him hooked. I think a lot of writers call that a hook, but get them interested early on. And then the content of the article, you know, whatever the subject's going to be, and then some flower it up a little bit with a few phrases or things that really put the reader there with you, with the writer. I've known a long time that a video is really built the same way. You have to have a start, a lead in. But the cool thing about the video, you can write it. I mean, you can film it out of sequence, and just through the editing process, you can put it all together, right?
Exactly. And you're exactly right. Your analogy of putting it, you know, to the likes of a written article is really it. It's a story. You're telling a story. And when you do that video, you know, you want to put it together like a story. You want to have a beginning. You want to have your subject, your animal come in, the harvesting of that animal. You want to have you know, you want to break your film up with segments of other things, and I'll touch on that in just a second. But, you know, at the end of the video, you really want to look back and have that video tell a complete story. In my videos, what I like to do, I'll go sit in a tree, I'll have my camera set up, and I start the video really before the shot. You know, what I do is get videos of squirrels, raccoons, owls, animals, leaves blowing, insects, you name it, little segments, little clippets, snippets, if you will, of those things. But the most important thing is obviously when the animal does come in, getting the video of the animal entering the area. And then obviously the shot is of utmost importance, zooming in on that animal, making your shot. And then following up after that is when you really start to create your video. All along, you've gotten these little snippets of squirrels and whatnot that you can edit into your video. But getting the shot and then followed up by maybe a little video of you drawing your bow back, a video of you, just a little intro, you know, hey, this is, you know, it's such and such a day, I'm hunting here, a little bit of background to where you're at, that type thing. And then, you know, once you've recovered the animal, then you can finish. You can wrap up the story by, you know, kind of reliving the experience, you know, in the end of the video, if you will. And it tells a story. So that's exactly what you want to do.
Well, once you say, for instance, let's just take a for instance, and you're up in a tree stand, and you hear a sounder of hogs coming. A lot of times, you know, you probably won't have your camera running all the time, and you probably won't have it running. It would be incidental if you did have it running when the hogs or the game first appeared. But say you are tipped off. You hear a squeal back in the woods, or you hear some leaves rustling, and then you know the direction they're coming from. Well, that's when you'll turn the camera on, and that's where the zoom becomes really, really important, because you can, the viewer, the person viewing this, he'll look in, he's watching the screen, he'll see what you're seeing. You know it's about to happen because you've hunted enough, you hear them coming. But that really, that's the hook in a way on a video, isn't it? It gets the people in there, in that tree stand with you.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's a lot of cameras out there, the GoPros, those type things, that they really don't have zoom capabilities. So unless an animal comes in and is almost right underneath you, it's hard to see what you're looking at. With a camera with some significant zoom, you know, and you see them out there in the distance as they come in, you know, I'll zoom in on them. And the closer they come, I'll slowly back it out. But in the frame, you're seeing these animals come in from a distance, and it makes great video.
Well, it does. Say they're coming in, say four or five hogs coming into a feeder. Well, you've got your camera on a bracket there, mounted there, beside uh-huh. your, you know, within arm's reach. Now, how do you know exactly, you know, you're not looking through the viewfinder, I mean, the eyepiece, but you can see that on the digital display, can't you, where the camera is looking, right?
Yeah, it's actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's really an important thing. When I video, I've got the screen, the little screen that opens up on the side of my camera, mm-hmm. and I'm watching everything from the screen. I don't even rarely look up at the animal. I'm watching them on the screen, because then I know exactly what I'm videotaping. If you tend to look up and the animal, you know, walks beyond your screen, then you're filming nothing. I mean,
yes.
You're filming the dirt or the woods or whatever. So if you're watching the viewfinder, if you will, then, and you can keep that animal in your viewfinder, and they're still going to come in, but it's capturing it all on video and you know, getting your subject in that video at the whole time it's coming in and while it's in there. So that's important.
Okay. Now, and you're to keep it, he's moving. Say there's one boar coming in out of the brush. He's mm-hmm. on the move. So you're just using your hand to turn the camera, right? Is that how you're doing it? Just move.
Yeah, I've got a little strap on arm that it actually ratchet straps to the tree, and it's an adjustable arm that adjusts up and down, left and right. And when you turn it or move it or adjust it, and you can let go of it, it won't move. It is pointed where you left it. So when that animal's coming in, I can back it up, push it forward, turn it right, turn it left, up, down, whatever. And it, you know, it's not going to move once I let go of that camera. So
That
the ability to zoom in and zoom out and adjust your camera, it takes away bounce. You don't have any of that bounce. So it's really important to, number one, use a camera arm, or if you're on the ground, use a tripod, because bounce really, it can ruin video very quickly. You want to eliminate that.
Now, okay, back to the bracket here with your camera mm-hmm. mounted on it. Is there a handle that you can, say the simple thing of zooming in, can you do that with the handle, or do you have to reach up there and touch the zoom on the camera?
Yeah, I actually, on my particular camera, there's a little button on top of the camera that you just push to the right or to the left to zoom in and to zoom out.
Okay.
So
uh-huh.
I'll just hold the camera arm, if you will, put it where I need it, bring my index finger up and just go right or left as I need to zoom in. But
okay.
Yeah, it's a separate adjustment.
And the handle thing, what it really does is it moves, you're not turning, you're not grabbing that camera and turning it, you're moving it with the handle on the bracket, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I can see that, because otherwise there would be a lot of shaking going on. But to zoom, and then a lot of that can be taken out if you do jar it just a little bit in the editing process. I know that.
Absolutely.
That's a whole different program. Editing software, you've told me for less than $100, you can get some really good editing software, right?
Yeah, I've used a couple different ones, and both of them the one I currently use is under $100, and it works super good. I mean, it allows you to take any clip, any snippet, anything, and put it anywhere in your timeline of your video, if you will, so you can move clips around and get a finished product. So if there's something that you do have some bounce, or you have something where you videoed something you didn't really want in there, you have the ability to, if you will, highlight that little part of the clip and remove it. And then if you, like I say, you get the shot of the animal first, and then followed by, okay, videotape myself drawing my bow. You can take that little clip of you drawing your bow, remove it, and put it right in front of where you just shot the animal. So when you watch that video, you see me drawing the bow, and then you see me shooting the animal. So it looks like it's, you know, that's how it should have been, and well, that's how it should be. So,
yeah.
But that makes for the ease of putting together a great video by pulling and extracting different clips and putting them in a timeline, if you will.
You bet. Well, Jeff, we have less than a minute to wrap it up. I want to make sure everyone can watch some of these awesome videos. Folks, Jeff mm-hmm. has got a video of him spearing a hog from a tree. I mean, all kind of really interesting hunting videos. How do they... mention the website again, Jeff, how they can go and watch the videos.
Sure. My website is buckandbassranch.com. You can find me on Facebook, Buck and Bass Ranch, but buckandbassranch.com is where I do post my videos.
Well, Jeff, I really appreciate the information and the knowledge that you shared with us today. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to getting back out there with you and, you know, doing some hands-on hog hunting with you, and maybe pick up another tip or two on how to do some filming. So there's a lot to this topic, especially the editing. We may get you back. I'd love to get you back in a few weeks maybe and talk some more about filming your own hunt. How about that?
I would be glad to join you, Luke.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Texas Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.